As you probably know, many of you will know, I recently did a little trip to England as part of my vacation. I was in Vancouver for most of my vacation, but in the middle of that, went back to see family. I was reflecting how one of the great things about Thanksgiving is that there's only one of them. Whereas in England, I would be on somewhere about halfway through six harvest suppers at this time of year, which is six different chicken casseroles of varying quality and six portions of apple pie. And it happened every year. It was exactly the same. Now, the apple pie is fine. I can do six apple pies over the course of a month. But yes, not so much six chicken casseroles. So I'm glad we're just celebrating the one Thanksgiving here. I loved being back in the UK, I will say. There were this time for a change, no weddings, thankfully no funerals, and no baptism, which is unusual for a family of my size. As many of you will know, I'm one of 17. I did get to spend some quality time with my son, Jack, with some British friends, and of course with my family. And as is the case with this kind of trip, there were lots of stories shared, mainly of the "do you remember when" variety. And as the years pass, there's more stories of that variety than there are of the "and this is what I did today" variety. So there were stories of childhood, the exploits of our late father. There were many exploits of our late father. I once began a sermon at this time of year with "my father was a wandering Irishman." And coming from an Irish family, the storytelling was often funny, it was rich, it was deep. And behind the stories, there were deeper truths of life and laughter and love and the commitment to one another, which we often don't make explicit in our family and friends circles. And this was built on when I came back here and my experience of coming back in time for Orange Shirt Day and Truth and Reconciliation Day and hearing something at the South Island powwow of stories which have been carried over many generations. Even the abuses and the excesses of assimilation and cultural genocide in the residential school system have not prevented these stories being held and shared over generations, which keep the worldview and the identity and the culture of the indigenous peoples of this place alive and vibrant. And as I've said in many contexts over this last decade or so, I am repeatedly amazed by the capacity of the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, as North America is known by some indigenous cultures, for the sharing of story and the formation of culture in that sharing. But that should come as no surprise to us, because we are all formed of and by story. It's a human condition to be rooted and grounded in stories, the stories we tell ourselves and the stories we tell one another. Take our Hebrew scripture reading for today. It is all based around a story that begins with that resonant and powerful phrase, "My father was a wandering Aramean." And it goes on to share the defining moment in Hebrew history and culture, the story of Exodus, the freedom from slavery and new life in the promised land for the Hebrew people. This story is also used as part of our Christian story. Images of freedom and the events of the Exodus echo through the gospel narratives and the letters of what we call the New Testament, the Christian scriptures. Now, many of those who are scholars of biblical archaeology and history will say and believe that there is little to no evidence that the Exodus happened as we have it recorded in scripture, and that it seems to be a constructed story that evolved to create an identity amongst a group of tribes who already lived in what we now call Israel-Palestine. But that, to me, is testament, no pun intended, of the power of story and of storytelling to make and create identities. In the church, our storytelling happens repeatedly. We tell the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ in every Eucharist we gather around. We hear the stories of and about Jesus in our gospel readings. We talk about the life of the early Jesus movements. We hear and we continue to hear and talk about the life of the church in terms of the stories we tell ourselves about our history, our heritage, and this community we now inhabit. This spiritual community of St. John the Divine in the Diocese of Islands and Inlets, in the Anglican Church of Canada, and as part of the wider Anglican heritage to a greater or lesser degree. And as I know I've stated before, we continue to define ourselves by the stories we choose to tell and by those we choose not to tell. So my question this Thanksgiving is, what stories are we choosing to tell or not? About ourselves, about one another, about our community. What stories are we allowing to shape and form us as we journey together and as we face the challenges of living our faith today and the challenge of moving into a shared future? Are we telling stories of celebration, of all we are, of all we have, of all that we share? Are we cultivating, as we heard at the very beginning of today's service, are we cultivating gratitude for the blessings we have received? Or are we telling stories of the things that we lack, the things that we want, of the things that we need? It's not to say we shouldn't be honest or realistic about our difficulties, but as Thanksgiving reminds us, there is plenty to be thankful for in our own lives and in this community. Paul, who scholars agree probably is the author of the letter to the Philippians that we heard from today, says, well, was no stranger to hardship. The stories of him and his own testimony talk of beatings, imprisonment, shipwreck, struggle, and more that he received as he continued to share his message of faith. And yet he is able to say, as we heard today, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And to go on to remind us that we shouldn't remember what we need, but we should keep our perspective in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be known to God. There is no pretending that we don't have needs, but we are reminded to frame them within our thankfulness and our gratitude, our recognition of the blessings that we do have, as which we share by being loved by God and part of a community of faith. It is easy for us to fall into telling stories of adversity and anxiety. The world outside our doors pushes us to do so, as does reading or listening to pretty much any news report these days. It's also easy for us to get caught up in gossip and tittle-tattle as a distraction. It happens in every community and indeed, shock horror, even in churches. It's easy because that grabs our attention so easily and quickly. When these negative or trivial stories become the stories that form us, we forget to do as Paul admonishes us today, to dwell on whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. This Thanksgiving, I'm seeking, and I encourage us all to do so, a focus that continues to be on that which is excellent, that for which we should be grateful. I hope our resolve can be not just for the stories which are empty or negative, or for the food that perishes, as we heard in our gospel, but for the food that endures for eternity. As we are nourished by this bread of life in this Eucharist, in our worship, in our prayers, in our community, in our sharing, may we share that bread with all. May we learn to recognize all that is good in our lives and in our community, building one another up in order that we might bring life to the world, that all might find their needs met, that all might eat their fill and be satisfied by the food that endures. Thanks be to God. Amen.